This is your classic. It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And one of the big talks around the state recently has been the sudden ban on gel blasters. I'm joined this morning by Superintendent Stephen Howard, officer in charge of the firearms branch with SAPO. How are you this morning, Stephen?
Good, thank you. And thanks for having me on your show.
So a lot of people working with gel blasters in South Australia have felt a bit blindsided by this decision. How did SAPO come to it?
Well, it's been developing over probably most of this year, and we first had our concerns back in February when we stopped the import of gel blasters from overseas. And all the importers in South Australia were aware of that, that's the suspension of importing gel blasters. And then with the number of incidents that have been occurring, we developed our position. Now, I've spoken to a number of retailers and associations affiliated with the gel blaster industry, and my view has always been, and this is what I've told them, that they are firearms and they would be regulated. It was just how we were going to regulate them, but I always would explain that regulation, in my view, was similar to paintball.
And so you mentioned paintball then, so I'll move into that. But gel blasters, of course, used in a similar fashion to paintball guns. And for example, I spoke with an operator in Wilmington yesterday whose business is pretty much essentially paintball, but with gel blasters. Are paintball guns regulated in the same way as registered firearms?
Yes, they are. So you apply for a Category A firearms. There's a subcategory firearms license called Category 4, which relates specifically to paintball, and gel blasters would fall within that category.
And so I guess then if you are operating a skirmish location like a paintball gun range, would gel blasters be allowed to be used in a similar fashion?
Yes, they would, but the gel blasters would have to be registered. But if they're doing, if they're a recognised paintball venue, well, then they're good to go.
Okay. And so there are some businesses that will lose out because of a ban like this. Was there any, I guess, discussions in terms of compensation for people who will be out of pocket now that they won't be able to operate a gel blaster?
No, there's been no discussion re-compensation, and that's really not a matter for me. But what I will say, we're treating both gel blasters and the same as we would treat paintball, which I think is only fair.
And gel blasters, of course, one of the issues has been how realistic they look compared to actual guns. Is there any, I guess, room for movement in terms of making them look less realistic? I know that's part of the draw for gel blasters, but is that an option there on the table?
No, it's not, because the mechanism within a gel blaster fires a projectile by compressing air, and that meets the definition of a firearm. So they're a firearm because of their mechanism, and also concerning is their appearance, because they give the appearance of a different type of firearm than what they actually are.
Okay, so there's an amnesty at the moment for people to not willing to go get a firearms license to own a gel blaster, to hand them into South Australian Police. Where can they do that?
They can hand their gel blasters in, or any firearm for that matter, to any police station or participating dealer. We do have an external facing internet site, Firearms Branch, which has all of the information not only relating to gel blasters but also firearms and the amnesties relating to firearms, and specifically the conditions, the additional conditions relating to gel blasters.
I guess the other question is, if gel blasters are being treated as firearms, like as you say, they have similar mechanisms to any other firearm, would this maybe encourage people to, rather than just skip the gel blaster, and if they're going to register for a firearm, why not just buy an actual firearm anyway?
The process for applying for a firearms license is it's not complex, but we scrutinise each application carefully. The person has to demonstrate a genuine need for their requirements, or for the type of firearm they're after. So you can apply just for a gel blaster paintball license, or you could select other categories of license. But you have to demonstrate to us, why do you need those firearms? Now, for paintball and gel blaster, the demonstrated need is, I wish to participate in skirmish activities at a recognised venue. that's a genuine need. But if they were looking for other categories, whether it be primary production, target shooting, club shooting, handgun, etc., well, then they have to demonstrate their need and requirement for that firearm. Hmm.
And just for example, so an operator of a skirmish location, is there any changes to, I guess, what they operate? Because, of course, would people attending those locations need to have a firearms license themselves, or is there a specific leeway, I guess, for venues that are sort of a safe haven to shoot at each other?
Yeah, there's the a paintball license and authorised venue. That any member of the public can attend that venue and participate in paintball activities as long as the paintball venue meets all the criteria. They have a recognised person in charge. They are have all the correct accreditations. Then, yeah, you don't need the person attending doesn't need a licence. If you want to take your own paintball gel blaster to a paintball venue, you would have to have a firearms licence and have that gel blaster registered. But often, as with paintball, they hire out their firearms for people to use.
No worries. Well, Superintendent Stephen Howard, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Stephen Howard, Superintendent and Officer in Charge of the Firearms Branch with SAPO on your Classic It's Breakfast.